want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him tonight.
Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. So high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Middle of the week. Good time to worship him. Spirit and truth. Amen. Good to be here. We've got up early this morning from Illinois and made it on back. Didn't have any traffic at all. Didn't hit anything. Nothing hit us. So we did good. So Lord provided us with a big old fat dough while we was up there. So we had a good time. June got to go with me and Toby. So we had a good time. So good to be back. And, good to be down here in the South in God's country. Amen. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 John 4. Tonight we're going to end this with on two spirits. This will be part 17. And it will be titled, The End or Separation Time. As Terrence has already announced, we'll have our regular two services Sunday. Sorry I wasn't here this Sunday, the first time the United States Postal Service ever asked me to work on Sunday. Well, they didn't ask. They told me I needed to. So, but we got all that over with since all this election stuff's over and done with. So we will hopefully not be able to do that anymore. So between services, you've got your marching orders from the deacon there. So we know what we're doing in between services. We are going to get to some kind of normal. We are, well, we're not normal people, but we're going to get to some kind of normal. Amen. I miss Bible study and I miss Sunday school class too. So I miss all those other things that we do. But I hope you're still studying. I hope you're still praying. I hope you're still reading your Bible. I hope you're still reading the prophet's message, listening to the prophet. I hope you're still doing those things. That's not COVID related. Should have been doing that to begin with. Amen. So 1 John 4, verse 1, we don't have any other announcements. We're at least back to that much of a normal where we don't have 25 announcements to make. So Brother Dale and I will be doing Sunday service, Lord willing, and try to get back to some sort of normalcy. So 1 John 4, and before we get started, I was back there talking to Brother Joe, and we know this COVID thing is, in places it's getting worse, and I know where several message ministers this week have passed away from the disease and or the virus, whatever you want to call it. And then a couple other, we've lost four ministers this week from different things besides COVID, but some of it was COVID related. Some of them we knew, some of them we did not know, but we need to keep everybody in our prayers. There's a Brother James West. I know some of you that go to Brother Matthew Bray's with us every once in a while. He was a dear friend of ours and just a huggy bear of a guy, you know, really nice gentleman. He passed away today. Now, I don't know if it was COVID related or not, but he passed away today too. So Just keep everybody in your prayers. We're going to win this thing.
Amen.
We will win. Don't worry. We'll win. Doesn't matter what signs look like. Remember, signs follow believers.
Right.
We got to be believers first.
Right.
We become believers first, and then the signs will follow us.
Right.
Not bad signs. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. This thing got so intertwined until the devil got a little bit complacent. But in the end time, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get separated. There's going to be a book that's not closed anymore. It's going to separate. And when it separated, when the seals open, it showed who the devil was, where he was at, and what he was doing. But it also showed where Jesus Christ was and what he was doing and who he was doing it through. Amen. I enjoyed all the preaching back last weekend. And Brother Willie did a good job, too, because this thing's got to come from the bride. It's not going to come from anybody else. It's not going to come from nominal people. It's not going to come from even good, foolish virgins. That's not where the call's coming from. The call's coming from the bride.
Amen.
And that's it. And I didn't make this plan. God did. All right. We just got to decide to be in the plan. Jim was reading me something, today about, digging a hole. Was it God? What was it? God was. Yeah, don't be leaning on the shovel and pray for a hole and expect for God to just give you a hole. And I've always told you, if you're looking for a job, don't sit on your couch with a Coca-Cola in your hand with your feet up on the couch and say, God, send me somebody, knock on the door, give me a job. No, say something you got to do.
Right.
There's something you need to do. You need, listen, the prophet of God, even Paul said, press your way, right? I press toward the goal. Now, how many of us are really pressing? Because pressing causes pressure. And I believe we're fixing to make the devil real mad. Because he's not going to know how to handle us when we get toward this end time.
Right.
As we're talking about here tonight. When those seals open, Brother Brown said, we've got Satan's answer.
Right.
Amen. What's the answer? We know where he's at, what he's doing, what his tactics are, and what is going to happen at the end.
Amen.
Amen. So 1 John 4. Because listen, how many people have you ever talked to that knows exactly how the end time is going to end up? They don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus is coming soon. He's coming out of the eastern sky. He's coming in this. He's coming on that. He's coming this. He's the Pope. He's coming this way. He's coming that way. He's not coming for another 50 years. He's coming tomorrow. He's coming yesterday. You understand what I mean? But you and I will know.
Right.
Surely we know where he's at. Surely we know where he's at. So we ought to know what he's fixing to start doing. Like I said before, we may not know what's going to go on this year, but that Holy Ghost inside of you knows your journey all the way to the very end. So let's start listening to that thing inside of us. Listen to that still small voice, and he'll tell us what to do to get us out of here, because he promised he would. He promised he'd never leave us, never forsake us. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening that we have to worship you one more time in spirit and truth, Lord, gathering the bride together, Lord, in this building, Father, and without you here, it's just a meeting. But Lord, I pray that you'll come and anoint our lips, Lord, move us aside, you take over, be the active participant in this service. But also, Lord, you're the only one that can reveal, and as we're going to read here in a few minutes, what we live for revelation, and it only can come from you, Lord. We pray that you'd give us revelation more and more this year than we've ever had before, that you'll give us prophetic insight into the things that are coming to this world, Lord, and know that there's a separation time, that we are separated from this world as far as the worldly pleasures of the world, but Lord, we still have to live here, but there's going to come a time where we're going to have to make a decision. Even as the 68 million martyrs in the Dark Ages made a decision, Lord, they walked into those arenas to death in the body. Well, we're going to have to die out, Lord, to ourself. And then the world is going to persecute us and prosecute us. But, Lord, you said that we would overcome. So we trust in what you're saying, Lord. We believe what you're saying. We believe you've already said it, already done it. So now let's walk into it. Father, forgive us of our sins. Thank you for the time we've had, Lord. We pray that you give us more of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's have a good time in the Lord. Amen. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Right.
And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Because they'll say, well, yeah, we got the Holy Ghost, but we can't control our flesh. We got the Holy Ghost, but you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. We're just all, nobody's perfect. That's not what my Bible says.
Right.
Amen? And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist.
Right.
Now, there's your spirit of Antichrist. Is that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh. But remember, he's hidden and revealed in you.
Right.
As Brother William will say, he's hidden and revealed in you.
Right.
That's one of the great mysteries. To me, that is the great mystery. But it took a prophet to come in the end time and say, now I call you bride.
Right.
I have brought, Eliezer has brought Isaac and Rebekah together, and he stepped out of the way and let Isaac and Rebekah consummate the marriage.
Right.
Amen. So that's what we're looking at now, the consummation of this whole thing, because we're going to a wedding supper.
Amen.
Ye are of God. Wait a minute. This is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard about it come. Now we've heard about it. The world has their idea who the Antichrist is. Just punch in Antichrist sometime and just read about who they think the Antichrist is. It's everybody but who we know it is. But you know who that's telling, feeding them that information? It's not God. Because the Bible says, as I read you last week, that he will let you believe a lie and be damned by it. He'll let you. God will let you believe a lie because he knows you'll not believe anything else. Because you're an unbeliever. All right. So this is that spirit of Antichrist. And even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. Well, that's pretty. See, now that separates. Like Brother Brown said, even back during the segregation time, he probably ruffled a few feathers. He said, God's a segregationist.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, whoa, no, God is a segregationist. He has always said, do not go over here and do that with this group
right.
of people.
Right.
Told Israel, do not go to the world, telling us not to mingle with the world. He even tells us not to mingle with somebody with false doctrine.
Right. Right.
Oh, my goodness. They went out from us because they wasn't of us.
Right.
Amen. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we. Now, look how positive that is. Hereby know we. This is John the Revelator that went to the Isle of Patmos and saw all the church ages, saw all the woman on the white, on the red dragon, and you saw the woman in the sun, and he saw all these great mysteries. And he comes back and he says, I've seen it. I may not can place it all, but I've seen that there's this woman sitting on a scarlet beast that's got a vial full of blood of the martyrs, of the saints. I know there's something going to happen. In the end time, there's going to be a separation time. All right? We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How positive that is. You may be seated. And I'm going to continue on. I went back and read 1 John again, and I picked up a good little nugget right here. Let's go to 1 John 5, verse 18. Look how positive John is. We know. Not we think. We think this is going to, no, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Whoa, that's a mouthful. But he knew and he saw. You know what? That's the same guy that wrote over there in Revelations that she will be without spot and without wrinkle. A bride that will be in Revelations 19 adorned in white raiment. No sin at all. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Not that he that's begotten of mom and daddy.
Yeah, right.
He that's begotten of what? The mother and father, the New Jerusalem, the ones that are born from above.
Right.
He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now watch. And that wicked one toucheth him not.
Right.
You say, oh my, the devil just touches me every day. Yeah, he does, but it should have no effect on you. Resist the devil.
Right.
And he'll flee from you. But right here he says, that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that. Well, here we go again. And we know that we're of God. Do you know that today?
Amen.
Do you know that you come from God and you're going back to God? Do you know that you've been born again?
Amen.
Amen. Do we know that we are, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Wow. Because listen, if you're not born again today, you're dead. You're lost. You're in the world. You're of the world. You say, no, I'm in a message church. That's the worst. If you're not born again, that's the worst place to be.
Right, right.
And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us what? That's what I want to key on today. An understanding. You can only separate something if you have an understanding of both spirits. Amen? Because you got to be one or the other. Can't be in between. One or the other. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. So what does that make you? True.
Right.
Even in his son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God. There's a false one, but this is the true one and eternal life. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
To me, that's a powerful, powerful. We know. John said, we know. We know where it's coming from. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not.
Right.
Number one, let's keep reading this again as Brother William read it the other night, or Brother Bob read it Sunday. Now remember this, Christ in the true church, remember there's a false one, is a continuation of the book of Acts. That's why we baptize in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you saw Brother Branham, you saw on the screen there how he gave the prescription. Dr. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and gave you the prescription.
Right.
Amen. And it hadn't changed since. Man changed it. When that vine started intertwining, man changed it. But not in the first church age he didn't. Amen. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he is cast in the lake of fire. Now that's his division there. He's going to be cast, and that's what I want to talk about today. The two spirits have got to be divided somewhere down the line. Because this side is going to be tares, and this side is going to be wheat. There's no in between. These are going to be burnt and sent into torment. These are going to go into eternal life. Now that's just the way it is. I didn't make the plan, but we're going to read here in Matthew 13 when Jesus said that there was a sower went out to sow, and then there was a one sow tares.
Right.
And he said, you just let them all grow up. See, he had to wait till this last church age before he could separate them.
Right.
It was so intermingled down through the denominations and down through the other six church ages, there had to come something in the end time to separate them.
Right.
And say, this is that, and this is that. This is tares, and this is wheat. Because as I've said before, if you get a garden, when that thing first comes out of the ground, everything looks like corn. Everything looks like a bean. But let it grow on up a little bit further.
Right.
And you'll see the kookaburra start, or you'll see the morning glory start, or it will be what? It will expose itself.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is let it grow. It will expose itself. And that's what's happening now. But what? It exposes Satan. Now when Brother Branham says it, now I know he's talking about the word. But that it is you.
Right.
Tonight I want you to understand he's talking. Right. It will not come through one preacher.
Right.
That's done.
Right.
Brother Branham, come. Eliezer, come. He said, here.
Yeah.
I call you bride. I introduce you to Christ.
Right.
The veil's been rent.
Right.
Have we not heard that before? The veil's been rent. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Isaac and Rebekah, married under Eliezer's teaching. Because
right.
He told Rebekah so much about Isaac until she didn't have to ask 25 different people in that field who Isaac was.
Right.
Eliezer had told her the very characteristic.
Right.
And listen, there was no Facebook.
Right.
There was no Instagram. There was no Snapchat. He did it by word. He explained Isaac so plain to Rebecca, to when she lit off that camel, she went running to the first person she saw because she knew that's who that was. And that's what the prophet of God did in the end time. He did not introduce us to three different Isaacs. He didn't introduce us to Isaac and his helper. He didn't introduce us to Isaac and his horseman. He introduced us to Isaac. He told us about Isaac, and he knew that we would go to the right person, which is who? Jesus Christ. So it exposes Satan, revealing his work. Now keep going in the red. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, not just she can see it, she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation, they, you.
Right.
Nobody else is going to get a true revelation. That's why I'm telling you, Revelations 10:7 has come so real to me.
Glory.
We have read it, and it's one of our themes, right? It's one of them we get on our belt buckle.
Yeah.
But do you really know what that thing's saying?
Right.
In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when it begins to sound, the mystery of God, one mystery, will be finished. What is the mystery of God? You and me. You and me are the mystery that Satan won't be able to handle. He's got all that other. Remember, the prophet of God said, we now have Satan's answer. Don't let him beat you up. We have it. We have the answer to keep him separated from us. Amen? She will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, the intertwining, and by God's spirit discerning to withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be what? Powerless.
Right.
Now what does Satan want to do? He wants to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
He'd as soon see you physically dead. Doesn't matter about your soul. He wants you dead. He wants you out of the way so you don't do him any more harm. And you don't stand in his way. So you don't know. We're coming down the road today. You don't know how many times within seconds you could have had a wreck. Within minutes you could have been run over. And all these different things going on. And here's those angels. Sitting on top of your car. And they're going, move back. But you know what, though? They're not just angels out there. There's demons out there. And if we could see the fight that goes on around us, we would be astonished at what God is doing for us just by us living and breathing every day of our life. Because look at those four ministers. They're gone off the scene. Sure, they're bright. Sure, they're... But they're not preaching that. You understand what I mean? They're not furthering the gospel anymore. Right? But here we are. And we're still alive. And we better do it this year. We better preach the hardest we've ever preached. You better dig the hardest you've ever done. Because you know what? We're at least 1 year closer to the coming of the Lord. Amen. At least 1 year closer. Whatever he does, when he does come, we're 1 year closer to the coming of the Lord. So now, let's go. I know the next thing says, what is truth? But we got to go back into Eden, because Eden is where this thing intertwined together. And all the false doctrines began where? In Genesis.
Right.
Prophet of God tells us. You had Nimrod. You had Cain and Abel, for one thing. You had the serpent and Adam. The whole world is deceived in the book of Genesis.
Yeah. Right.
Genesis 1:26. They think that's just man.
Right.
That's not just man.
Right.
That's the bride of Jesus Christ. That's God's children that came into being at that point.
Right.
Then you see that the world has now been taught that it was an apple that Eve ate.
Oh, yeah.
They're deceived right there in the beginning. And don't you think it gets any better? It gets worse as you go through. Because
right.
As God is hiding himself in simplicity, so is the devil.
Right.
and they're intertwining are the seed has been sown. Remember, the two seeds started in the two trees in Genesis. And I read you the quote where they're planted in the same earth. They get the same rain. But they've intertwined so much until you can't hardly tell the difference. Oh my, that's close. Yes, sir, it's close. And it's going to get closer. But there will come, folks, a separation time. There will come a time when, as like I said before, many times if the nominal church, which Brother Brown, I'll read you a quote talking about them going into that World Council of Churches and going into that federation. We see now, as we see this political thing playing out, we see now more how that there's going to be a group over here, and there's going to be a group over here, and there's going to be a group over here. And this group is going to push their will on this group over here. And Brother Branham says that if you don't watch it, you're going to get caught in it. Right? You'll get caught in that thing and can't get out. Why? Because they're going to close the church down. But if you'll just, don't mention that Branham man's name. It just, you know what it does? It stirs the devil up. But you know, then some preachers are going to go, well, because Brother Ram said, to save face, in other words, to have being able to have church service, we'll just go along with it. That's compromising, folks. We're not going to do that. Amen?
Right.
Abel didn't compromise with Cain. That's what killed Abel.
Right.
Abel stood there and said, this is what God said. Cain said, nah, come on, it's got to be the fruit. It made him so mad he killed Abel, because Abel stood on what he believed. So did 68 million Christians die at the hands of Christians. They said, you don't believe this certain doctrine right here, then we're going to kill you. Isn't that getting familiar? And like Brother Brown said, it's not so much as now killing, physically killing, but killing a person's influence kills the person. Amen? We've seen that happen many, many times. But from the first age to now, or to even, and going through Nicaea, this thing is intertwined so much until, like I said before, and you can bring it up here, says, when I preached on what is truth, I looked on the internet and there's 30,000 worldwide Christian organizations. Christian. Not these offshoots of demons and all the Antichrist and all this stuff. There's 30,000 worldwide Christian organizations. There's 1,200 different ones just in our 50 states. 1,200 different ways they see what God is and what He's doing.
Oh yeah.
That's why Brother Branham said the true church.
Right.
One church. Right. And there's got to be one, folks. There's got to be a true church.
Amen.
But what is truth? Truth came to us by the opening of those seven seals. First part of the ministry, Brother Brown, I'm sure, he threw in all the different doctrines that they had fell from. You heard him there, Pentecostal, y'all went, you know, you let your women cut the hair, you let your women preach, you let your women do this. He was telling them, but when it come to the opening of those seals, he said, thousands of people will leave me. Thousands of my friends. Because see, that was the defining moment, I believe, when Christ and Satan met each other. Now listen, Brother Branham wasn't Christ, but he had Christ in him. And he had a job to do for Christ. But so did the denominational world, because when he stepped out and said, this is my revelation of these seven seals, my revelation, all the different ones we were talking to Brother Bob's house, you know, you got Clarence Larkin and all the ones, they hit and miss, but this man brought a full seven course message.
Yes, right.
Clarence Larkin was a Trinitarian, so you can, and forgive me, he's a Christian and I believe he made it. He had some good teachings, but you mark him off as being a true prophet of God.
Right.
Yes. Everybody like Sankey, Finney, Calvin, you can name all that. They had certain parts that they were, but Brother Branham says one had to come to tie all the loose ends up Because they had intertwined themselves with Trinitarianism so much. And no, and an eternal hell. And mama's at the foot of Jesus. And, you know, and Jesus is coming on a cloud. And Jesus is coming this way. Jesus is coming. Remember 1917? They went up there on a, mountain of some Campbellites or whatever it was. They figured out that's when Jesus was coming. But he was coming to them. Well, that's been a long time ago. All those other doctrines have been a long time ago. We're here right now. And like I said before, the name of this one is the end. It's not just the end of the sermon. It's the end of those two spirits. One's going into perdition and one's going into glory. There is no in between. Amen? Now sure, I know there's people giving eternal life. You understand what I mean? It's not, it is cut and dry in God's mind, but there are people going to be given eternal life for the different things. You understand what I mean? But they weren't true seed to begin with. They were imparted eternal life. They weren't part of that Genesis 1, 26 and 27 man. Amen? Has everybody got that? Even the foolish virgin's not part of that Genesis 1, 26 and 27 man. The only people that came from God is his children. The only three children my daddy has in this building, there's plenty of them in this building. He's only got three because they came from him. Right? So same way with God. When he stood there and said, let us make man our own image after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and all the living creatures. He was not talking about the billions of people that was going to come on the earth. He was talking about one group of people. But that group of people is going to have to realize that she has a purpose.
Amen.
Just as God had a plan and a purpose, guess who it was for? It wasn't for God. God's eternal. God don't need nobody to exist. But he wants to work through you to prove to the devil that he can do it. Because the devil got in the Garden of Eden, he said, boy, I really messed this plan up. They're going to have to look to me. They're going to have to look to my intelligence to be able to survive. Remember? Those people that came from Cain, Brother Brown said they were workers of iron. They built the Tower of Babel. They were all, and poor old, Seth was sheep herders. Common farmers. Amen? And the devil's going, I'll build my kingdom down here. Well, he's trying to build one, but you know what? He's trying to build it the wrong way. If he would have got on God's side and stayed his right-hand man, he could have had part of the kingdom. But that part of the kingdom is now mine and yours. Amen? That's mine and yours, not his. He forfeited all that. He's just a squatter. He owns nothing. This powerful thing we call the devil. One day we're going to look at him. The Bible says there's some drunk on the side of the road dying in his own vomit and say, is this the man that's right now up in Washington, D.C., that's right now over in Belgium, that's right now over all these different places ruling the world? Only temporary. But are we temporary? Do we have a promise just to be temporary?
No.
We have a promise to own this thing for an eternity.
Amen.
It was made in the beginning for me and you. Wasn't made for the devil. Come on, people. You got to start realizing who you are. If we don't, we're just going to keep getting browbeat by the devil all the time. What is truth? 1,200 different things in the United States alone? No. One truth. There's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. Them 1,200, I'm sorry, those 1,199 are error. There's only one truth. 1 John 4, verse 3 says, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is one we read at first, but I'm going to read it again. But look, that is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So the Antichrist spirit is here. There is no doubt where it is. It's right here. It's not as the world says. Now see, the world is looking and reading in Revelations how the beast is going to rise up. Well, Is it going to be a horse? Is it going to be like Dad said, as my uncle used to think it would be, this great big, you know, beast coming out of the earth? And, well, that's not going to deceive anybody. That's a big beast. And the whole world's going to see it. But he's going to come in with flattery. He's going to come in and be real humble, real calm. See, every time something rises up, they'll go, well, that's Antichrist. The Antichrist is doing his work. Listen. The Antichrist is in them if they don't have Jesus Christ. It's going to head up into one person. We know that. It's going to head up into one person, one beast. When we're out of here and we leave, it's going to incarnate the Pope. And he's going to be the guy, Satan Superman. But until then, he has an opposition that keeps that from happening. And it's me and you.
Thank you, Lord.
Live so close to God, Satan won't know what to do with you. Wow. See, we got to start believing what's already been said about us. We're not trying to develop a new revelation. We're trying to believe the one that's already said. Because we're not looking for a new Bible. I'm not looking for 10 new sermons from Brother Branham that they dig up out in Arizona underneath a rock somewhere. That's going to give us rapture and faith. He said rapture and faith lies in these books and these tapes. Right here. It's already here. The book's open. What are we looking for? It's already here. Opening of the book. Remember, the book's been closed.
Right.
When the Lamb took a book in Revelation 5, it was closed.
Right.
But in Revelation 10:7, the book was open.
Right.
And then he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound the mystery that's been closed up in that book will be made open. Amen. We got to keep going and keep going and keep going. Because look, I was listening to Brother Branham the other day, and because you got to remember, and we covered it in the saying, deed, doctrine, incarnate Antichrist, justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, and incarnate Christ. You got four combat beasts. Well, now that's the first four seals. Once those four combat beasts are gone, so are we. Does everybody realize that? The work is done.
Right.
When those combat beasts leave this earth, we're going with them.
Right.
They've done their job. They have overcome those Therion beasts, or those untamable beasts that's going to be left on the earth.
Right.
But where is it? We're looking. You looking at it.
Right.
I know people get up and say, well, who's your worst enemy? Get up and look in the mirror. Well, you know what? That's your best friend, too. He might be your worst enemy, but that guy down inside of you, don't belittle him, brothers and sisters. That's the eternal God. And that's the one you need to look at and say, God, I'm going forward. I may look horrible. I may make 100 mistakes today. But at the end of the day, the devil's going to know I walked on this earth one more day. How many of you can do that? All you got to do is pray and read your Bible. Pray, read your Bible. Talk about God to your neighbor, maybe. How simple is that? But saying, it started as a little saying. It became a deed. It became a doctrine. And then it became an incarnate Antichrist, which we're seeing in the end time now. It's heading up to one person. It's a system. Saying, deed, doctrine. So they have taken the whole doctrine. It has intertwined. And God has winked at the ignorance of those people down through the church ages, because what? There is true vine, but that false vine had intertwined with doctrine, Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, eternal hell, novenas, and all the different things. Hey, there's going to be Catholics in heaven. Sorry about that. There's going to be real true Catholics in heaven. They may not be bribed, but buddy, I'm telling you, in that third and fourth church age, they might have been some of them in there, because they listened to the message of the hour. Look at Martin Luther. He was probably about 50% Catholic. Brought about 50% of their doctrine. But see, that's the intertwining. God winked at that, folks. But look, there had to be a separation time come. Because God couldn't take a bride it through a body change with that intertwining of that false. Listen, there is no false in God. There is no false doctrine in God. There is no false person in God. It's all truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And where is that person that said that tonight? He's inside of you. Saying the same thing. You say, oh, you... No, Brother Branham. You just took the place of God. He said, is that too far? Remember? Remember they said, Brother Branham, you just took the place. You've told them people to forgive their sins. Listen, folks. The Bible tells you, says, who's ever sins... Come on, it's already in there. It didn't take a prophet. He just vindicated it. The Bible tells you, says, whoever sins you retain, they're retained. Whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. That's what Bible. Didn't take a prophet to come and write a new Bible. He was just showing you that it was already in there. Is that too far? Brother Brown said, no. I like that one where even the Bible, we don't quote this much, but the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if they have committed any sin, it'll be forgiven. Boy, come up here and get prayed for a problem in your body and God just wipes the whole slate clean again. Wow. You love the Lord? I'm telling you, He has got to have a clean bride. He's not going to marry somebody it's all messed up. No, He is not going to do that. Not in this end time. Now, He may have took some of them and winked at their ignorance and all the different ones. But remember, He demands in this end time that we're born again. He demands the truth in this end time. Whatever we got to do, scratch and claw. The Bible says, he that overcometh will I give these things to. Not that he that slacketh. He that overcometh. But there's your key. God works with us the same way. Because you know what? That's false doctrine right there. But there is a true doctrine. That you have to hear it. You have to do it. You have to become a part of it. And then let that incarnate you. Just like the devil is doing the world. Because remember, he can't be anything but a copycat. Satan cannot come up with an original anything. Because he's not original. He's a copycat. But he can copy so close, folks. That's the difference. He can copy so close till he can almost deceive the very elect, according to the book of Matthew. And we'll read part of that in just a minute. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And we see that happening now. And that man of sin being what? Revealed, the son of perdition.
Right.
Who opposes and exalteth himself. Now all that's at them denominations out there, Brother Wade. They just... Judas was in the message.
Right. Yeah.
Judas went to camp meetings.
Yeah.
Judas preached at camp meetings. Oh boy, can I get any closer? Right? Judas sat and said, amen. Wow, how close is that? That even makes me get a shiver a little bit. But you know what? There was only one person knew who he was. That was the Son of Man. That's why the Son of Man had to come back in the end time. To know and tell you that Satan's in, not you, but it's Satan's in flesh today, and I'm in flesh today. Because when Brother Brown called us bride, he told us that's who we were, the body of Jesus Christ. That's who the true bride is. The true bride is the body of her lover, the true body of her husband.
Right.
To me, you've got all these mysteries, because even Paul says you can know all mysteries and not have charity. But Brother Branham gave us a way to get to the new birth. Not a new way. Same way as always. Because remember, see, that's got all convoluted. That got all... Shake a hand. Like I said before, you know, the Baptists shake a hand. Now, if you was 9 years old and you come up and you gave your heart to God and we turned around and give you the right hand of fellowship, then if you don't darken the doors and you have, you know, have a hound dog life, that's okay because right here. See, that's false teaching.
Right.
That's giving somebody false hope.
Right.
And all the other different, like Brother Bram said, he said, where'd they come up with sprinkling? Sprinkling ain't even in the Bible. Right. Baptize is in the Bible.
Right.
So how'd they come up with that? Somebody finally must have said, I don't think we need to put them in the water. We just need to sprinkle water over top of them.
Right.
We don't need to baptize babies. We just need to sprinkle them. Now, we believe in dedicating babies, right?
Right?
But we don't believe in putting them over the holy water and sprinkling the holy water, and they're already... Do you know what that... To a Catholic, if Sister Anna Kennard was here tonight, she'd tell you, that baby has to go to that whatever they call that. Luis, what is that? Do you know what? It's the little baby dedication where they sprinkle the water. See, that puts them in heaven.
Right.
That's their... Huh?
Confirmation.
See, you say, well, they're just taking the baby and they're... No! They're literally believing that that priest is putting the holy water on them, right?
Right.
Right, Louis? Right? And that they're not, they, that confirmation proves that they're gonna go to heaven. Cause they're now a confirmed Catholic. That's where their confirmation comes from. Now you know that's a lie! But they believe the lie and are damned by it.
Glory.
Let no man deceive you by any means. Paul said, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worship. See, listen, folks, here's the key. Satan cannot exalt himself. I love this. Satan cannot exalt himself or his imp above you. God won't allow it. God won't allow it. He lost all that. He lost that being the right-hand man. He lost that. So he can't, whatever you go through, whatever problem, whatever imp that God, that Satan sends you, whatever demon Satan sends you, it's not any more powerful than you let it be. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's a greater force at work here. Because listen, he's not opposing and exalting himself to the world out there. He's wanting you to worship him. He's wanting you to worship him. And we've done it for years. But when God pulls us away, Satan hates that. That's why Brother Brown said God said Satan turns every gun on you. Why? Because he's lost a good soldier. He's lost a good guy.
Right.
You used to forward his kingdom. Some of you may not have, but I sure did. Hello? I thought the Bible said confess your sins one to the other. I was a sinner. Okay? But now once you come here though, but remember, I've always told you, like I said before, I'm not talking about one person. Sure, I know I call Catholic and I know I call Baptist, but that's a system.
Right.
Yeah. That's a system. I'm not one person. That's a system they're under though. But now remember though, once you attach yourself to that system, you're part of that system.
Right.
Once you attach yourself to God like you did a year or so ago, never can that be taken away. But now, you know what? You can attach yourself to different things and Satan will go, nah, I don't want you over here. Nah, I don't want you over here. He'll bang you around like an eight ball.
Right?
But God won't. When God says you're my child, he seals you until the day of your redemption.
Amen.
Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, now this is Paul 2,000 years ago, I told you these things. Look, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Now you know, Paul said, grievous wolves are coming in. In other words, new doctrine is going to show up. Nicaea is going to show up. All these false teachers, Constantine, and all these different ones, Cerinthius, and all the different ones that brings doctrine in. And even the denominational people. The doctrine, not the person, the doctrine. You know what I believe? It's just me. Joseph Smith started the Baptist Church. Right? Isn't that right, Joseph Smith? Started the Baptist Church. I believe he'll be in heaven. Because he started a move of God, but what happened was the people got a hold of it and said, this is it. And God moved on. Same way with all the different ones. Because Brother Brown names them all. I mean, he'll name them. That's why people talk about Billy Graham and Oral Roberts in the message being lost. They're not lost. They had the new birth for their time. Because Brother Branham had nobody else. I wish that Billy Graham and Oral Roberts would have heard him one time say, a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Just like the two witnesses that were with Melchizedek. And they were sent to Sodom to blind the people's eyes. What would you think they'd think?
Right.
Oh, no, not me. I just preach to the world. But they did. That's exactly what they did. They were identified in the Word. How much more can me and you be identified in the Word of God? Amen? So that's like I said before. Let's don't disclude anybody. But let's disclude systems. Systems of false doctrine that we now know. Because look, if you're faced with a doctrine and it's the truth and you turn it down, that's iniquity. That's why the mystery of iniquity, we'll read it here in just a minute. Right now, pull it back up. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Because the first church age wasn't his time. Look, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. Now, Brother Branham, take a prophet. Only he, God, who now letteth will let until he, the bride, be taken out of the way.
Right.
So there we are. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And God's going to let it work until this end time, where the separation time comes. Because listen, if you're not born again, you're part of that mystery of iniquity.
Right.
That's what your system is giving you, is false doctrine, even though you may show them the Bible where Paul, Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They turn it down. That's iniquity.
Right.
But now remember, they call you false and them true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? They call you false and them true.
Right.
Uh-uh. That ain't happening.
Right.
You're the truth. But what's that? That's iniquity when you read it to them and show it to them.
Right.
And they turn it down.
Right.
Iniquity is knowing to do right and not doing it.
Right.
Or doing something wrong knowing you're supposed to do it right.
Right.
How many preachers in Brother Branham's town? How many of those 300 preachers in Chicago? Oh, Brother Branham, we're coming down there to be baptized. Get the pool ready. We'll be down there. And not one of them showed up.
Right.
They went into that mystery of iniquity. They heard the message, they heard the word, and they turned it down. Why? Because to save face, to save a denomination, to save their church, to save some organization. Right? They just went right on, had churches and had church, and they didn't all quit preaching. They stayed right there in that system. See, that's where that intertwining was so strong. Nobody could pull that apart except Brother Branham. The Spirit of God through a prophet in the end time, a word prophet, to pull that thing apart. To pull that book open.
Amen.
You can amen if you want to. I'll amen it. So let's read number 2, an exposition of the church ages. Now to get the real meaning of what we're about to go into, I must caution you, look at this, to ever keep in mind that religion, spiritual matters if you like, is composed of two parts that intertwine but are opposite as black and white. Religion and the spiritual world are made of these two trees which had their roots in Eden. Both the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil stood in the midst of the garden, and no doubt their very branches intertwined each other. Thus, in the Ephesian church age is that same paradox. The church is made up of good and bad. The church is made up of good and bad. Two vines make the church. Whoa. They are like the wheat and tares growing up side by side, but one is true, the other is false. Now, God will speak to each one. And he will talk about each one. He will call them the church. But now look at this special group of people. And only the elect will really know which is the true spirit. Only the elect will not be deceived. Wow. Because he continues on in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they deceive the very elect. Look, so way back there in the early church, a very short period after Pentecost, the false vine got to intertwine itself around the true vine to find these deeds of the Nicolaitans. We done spoke about that. Brother Brown brings that up in the first four seals. And that spirit is going to be found fighting the true vine until it is destroyed by God. And it's going to be destroyed, the Bible says, by what? The brightness of his coming. Now, from the eastern sky, he's going to walk down this big ball of light? No. It's going to be revealed in you. You're the mystery, remember. You are that person. Now, have you got it, he said. And I ask you, have you got it? So let's read Matthew 13:24. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while the men slept, his enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Got it? Okay. Verse 27, so the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath these tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. There's your two spirits, two seeds. They can't cross. Now, sure, they can intertwine, but you can't make one or the other without what? A conversion. Brother Brown talks about cucklebur, talks about wheat. We were all born cucklebirds. We were sown by that tare of that evil one. We were all born in sin. We were all born by mom and daddy. We were all born by the wrong seed. Tares. But thank God, by the power of transformation, God's the only one that can do it. Man can't do it. Man can't take an apple tree and make it a full orange tree. Sure, he can graft it. And he can do a little bit of that, but he cannot make an apple seed produce an orange. That's why I like that song they sing. He's the only one that can take a sea and open it up and make a highway out of it. He's the only one that can take a valley of dry bones and make it talk and make it live. He's the only one that can do that. Nobody else can do that. He's the only one that can take shame and make glory out of it. The only one. But who is he doing it through? You!
Right.
Talk about it later. So the servant of the household came and said, sir, dost not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence has these come, the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto them, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? In other words, Lord, we're in the first church age. Paul, we're in the first church age. Paul, we need to condemn that thing, but you can't cut it down. You got to let it grow. Because see, there's some good seed that's going to be in there, but there is some bad seed. And we got to let it manifest corn or cucklebur. Because they both look the same. Got it? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat too with them. Let both grow together, intertwine, for six church ages. But there's going to be a time of harvest where let both grow together until the harvest. Now, folks, if this is not harvest time, I don't know what time it is. This is the harvest time. There is no other planting of a seed. The seed's been sown. It's manifesting time. I wish somebody would write a song about that. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares. And what? Bind them in bundles. You never bind wheat at the harvest. You bind it later. You cut the wheat down. It has to lay over and die. Then you harvest. But he's telling, get the tares first and bind them in bundles to burn them. Got to separate, folks. But gather the wheat into my barn. My barn. Gather the wheat into my barn. Not my neighbor's barn. Not the second person of a Trinity barn. My barn. I'm the one that planted that good seed. And the devil planted that other seed. We're going to let it go until harvest time. And then I'm going to send a prophet that's going to take what? The loose ends. He's going to take this tree and this tree, put them together, and grow one great tree called the truth. You know what that tree that he saw grow was? That's that tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden. Because there was no faults in that tree of life. There was no denominational branch. There was not one grafted in there. So let's read now an exposition of the church age. Next quote. Harvest time. Yes. Harvest time. The two vines that grew together and intertwined their branches are now to be separated. The fruit of those vines which were at such variance will be gathered into separate garners. Look, he turns it right to the two spirits. The two spirits will go to their separate destinations.
Right.
Listen, they won't be one sinner in heaven and they won't be one saved in hell.
Right.
Everybody got that? Now, we're all sinners saved by grace, but you know what? We're not sinners no more.
Right,
I just read you where Paul said, or John said, your seed remain, you say you can't sin. That man inside of you cannot sin.
Right.
And it can't even be accounted for the sin you do if you ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Good grief. We sure are living below our privileges. The two spirits will go to their separate destinations. Now it is time to heed the final call that comes only to the, somebody say that, wheat bride. Come out of her, my people. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye wheat receive not her tares, plagues, the great tribulation of the sixth seal in Matthew 24. Like I said before, you'll never stand in judgment once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You put every judgment you ever have, you lay it on Jesus Christ, and he took it all away from you at Calvary. That's why Brother Brown says, never forget Calvary. Never forget that 2,000 years ago when that wheat bride seed was inside of that man. Spiritually, not naturally, spiritually. And on the day of Pentecost, he started planting that seed. And he's not finished planting yet. Oh yeah, we say it's harvest time. Sure it is, but there's a little few little seeds out here that needs to grow up a little. We need to start showing our true fruit. Whatever we are, we're gonna, listen, this is the end time. You will either be a tare or you'll be wheat. Can't help it. Number four. Hearing, recognizing, and acting on the word of God. Here's what will come to the end. Education's at the end. Politics is at the end. War's at the end. This is 1960. How many years ago? 60 years ago? Civilization's at the end. All these things All those things are at the end. My, what can we do then? What is next? We're at the end of all things. Now we know what Brother Brown said about the seventh seal. Said it was the end of all things.
Right.
That's why I'm telling you folks, you may think this uncommon, but if we don't get the revelation of those seven seals like the prophet got them, you're not going in a body change.
Right.
Now the church life is at the end. The normal church. We're not normal. Now this may stick just a little bit, but the church carnal, the Esau church, she's coming to her end. Wow. What's she doing? Heading up in the Federation of Churches, which will finally join the Romanism to fight Catholicism. Now watch, he was wrong, he corrected himself, are with Catholicism to fight communism. Pope John is calling for all the churches to come back, that's 1960, and they will, and they'll unite themselves together just exactly what thus saith the Lord. So we know, as we talk about the six visions, or the seven that he had, the Brother Dale was talking about, he said that thus saith the Lord. Well, that's so thus saith the Lord too. They're all going to head up into Romanism.
Right.
Well, listen, as of today, right now, those 1,200 different denominations have some form of Romanism in them. Because remember, Rome will rule the world. You say Romanism, I say, yeah, Catholicism, same thing. There is Catholic doctrine in every, but people are going to hate this, in every denomination in the world, there is some form of Catholic influence. Whether you be Baptist and say, I know that Rome's, that's the Antichrist, Catholicism, yeah, and then you say, well now, what difference is them and you? Except for maybe a couple little items. And where did your baptism come from? You see how it's going to make them mad? Because if they're not going to get mad, Satan's going to get mad. All right? Is everybody okay with that? Number five, the breach between the church ages and the seals. Seal signifies. Now, this is the word I got from the dictionary. Seal signifies a finished work. And when the seventh seal is broke, now he's in the breach. He's not gotten to the seventh seal yet. The mystery of God, Revelation 10:7, that sealed in these mysterious seals is finished.
Exactly.
Until the day that seal is broken, then it's revealed what's on the inside of it.
Glory.
If the man's wondering what's in that boxcar, you say, it's supposed to be such and such. You know, you can presume all you want to. You can put this boxcar up here with this great big lock on it. You can say, that's all Kit Kat bars. And then boy to walk up and say, nah, I don't like Kit Kat bars. That's all s'mores.
Yep.
Then Brother Luis walks up and says, nah, I believe it's all dark chocolate.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? The different ideas we have of what's in that car.
Right.
But until you know what's in that car,
right, exactly,
you are presuming.
Right.
So it took a prophet. It took the angel of the Lord through the prophet to come down and pull that seal off the door. And open the door and say, this is it.
Right.
Amen.
If a man's wondering what's in that boxcar, he says, I suppose it's such and such. See, that's what, and listen, I don't belittle people. True to their denomination, they're trying, listen, there's nobody coming to church to say, well, I just don't know. No, they're trying to do something. There's some good people that are trying their best even to make something happen.
Amen.
But they don't have the truth. They're just presuming. Every doctrine out there, they're presuming that it's right. Because somebody can come along and say, no, it's sprinkling. No, it's pouring. No, it's baptizing. Well, now, what are you going to pour in? Father, Son, Holy Ghost? You're going to pour in the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to baptize in presuming.
Right.
What's in the car? But listen, there is actually something in the car.
Amen.
And it's you.
Right.
But when the seal is broken and the door is open, we see into it then and see exactly.
Right.
And I like Kit Kats, so it's all Kit Kats.
Yeah.
You see it? And that'll only be done at the end time.
Amen.
That boxcar of theology or of truth, not theology, but that boxcar of truth has moved down 6 church ages. Nobody's been able to open the door. Oh, people have got close to try to open the door. They might have looked through a slat and they saw 3 instead of 1. They looked through a hole and said, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, hell's eternal, I think. I think that's right. So-and-so said it was. But Brother Branham said, if God doesn't come on the scene, he said, we're only presuming.
Right. Exactly right.
So see, to the world, Brother Luis, we're presuming.
Right.
You talk to people in denominations, they think you're crazy. Because they got their own boxcar.
Right.
But the door's still shut.
Amen.
There's no open book. We have an open book.
Amen.
We have an open door. Amen. We know what's behind that door.
Amen.
But when that seal is broke and the door is open, we see into it then and see exactly what's in there.
Right.
We're not presuming. All right, let's go to number 6. We must remember that this 7th seal is the end of time of all things.
Right.
That's right. The things written in the 7th seal book, remember, sealed up. What is the 7th seal book? The Bible.
Yeah.
And if it's the word in letter, and you, though, are the word, you're the word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word. Words with God and words God. And the Word was made flesh.
Amen.
And dwelt among us. See, that's what we got to identify. We can't identify and say, well, we think we're the Word. See, Satan thinks he is. You got to know. When you know you're the Word, you know he's not.
Right.
Exactly.
That gives us confidence. It gives me confidence to press play. Whenever I want to.
Right.
But he gives me confidence to listen to a good Holy Ghost filled preacher.
Amen.
That can break these things down and not be presuming.
Right.
But know what God said. Because there's a true message. I'm going to shout that all year. There's a true message. There's a true people.
Right.
And this is it.
Right.
Why you look for something else? I'm like the two angels when Jesus resurrected. They said, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Right.
He's risen.
Amen.
And he's risen in a bride.
Amen.
Glory.
The things written in the 7th seal book sealed up of the what? Plan of redemption.
Right.
Folks, that's all the seals are, is the plan of redemption.
Right.
The real plan.
Right.
Not the false plan.
Right.
The real plan. Sealed up for the plan of redemption from before the foundation of the world. It every bit ends. It is the end. It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of struggling nature. It's the end of everything. In there is the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. Because remember, look, when the seals are revealed to the bride, what do we do with them? We go out of here.
Yeah.
Israel don't get the seals. Like we get them. Because they don't get a body change. They have to die. Right?
Right.
They have to die.
Amen.
They get the Son of Man message, but they don't get the whole headstone.
Right.
Because they've rejected the headstone. You and I have not.
Right.
Well, you have to decide whether you reject it or not. That's what I'm telling you. It's a requirement to know these things. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. It's even the end of time. Remember in Revelations 10, we'll read it in a minute. It says, 1 foot on land, 1 foot on sea, and says what?
Right.
Time will be no longer.
Right.
Amen. Time runs out. The Bible said so. Revelation the 7th, 10th chapter and 1-7, time runs out. The angel says, time will be no more when the days of this great thing to happen. Everything runs out in this time. At the end of this 7th seal. Now watch this. Notice. It's the end of the church age.
Hmm.
It's the end of the seven seals. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the vials. Even ends the ushering in of the millennium. Listen, it's got to end in me and you. To take us to these other places. There will be no millennium until we come. Somebody comes to the true revelation of the seventh seal. Because it's withholding. The boxcar hadn't been opened yet. It's the end of the trumpets, the end of the vials, even the end of the ring of the millennium. That's on the seventh seal. Now, what did the seventh seal cover? Think of it just a minute. Let me run through this. This is not on my notes, but can I run through this just a minute? First four seals is what? That's me and you. That's the four combat beasts. The fourth seal, the rapture takes place in the fourth seal. We go up. What happens on the fifth seal? Goes to the Jews. What happened to the sixth seal? Battle of Armageddon. What's after the Battle of Armageddon? Millennium! That's what he's talking about. This thing has, the book has opened to the prophet, getting ready to open to him. Well, this is in the seventh seal. It's opened up to him, showed him all the way. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen to the Jews. We don't have to worry about who the two witnesses are. We know who they are. We know when they're coming. Remember, listen, folks, there was I don't know if it was the Campbellites or whoever it was. I hate to call names, but remember even Brother Brown said they thought they were the 144,000. It was just going to be 144,000 bride saved. See, that's not true. We know the 144,000 are all Jews according to Revelation, according to the fifth seal. You even got a fifth seal Jew that gets their life gift or eternal life gift to them while the 144,000 has to die. Listen, the pathway for me and you has been laid to the future home. We know exactly what's going to happen next. We may not know who or when or what day, but we know what's going to happen. We know that the rapture will not take place until someone comes to that headstone and Christ speaks through them just like he spoke through himself and said, Lazarus, come forth. Because that call will come from the bride. We will not have to go out and gather around a cemetery. See, people do that. They do seances and all that evil stuff they do to try to commune with the dead. Folks, we ain't going to commune with the dead. We're going to bring them live people back to here. And then we're going to be changed. It's going to be such a power till we can't stand it anymore. We're going to have to be changed. Then we're going to just step over into another dimension and let God wipe this thing off. Two prophets come in. Just like firing a rocket into the air, and that rocket explodes here, and it goes up, and then it explodes again. It puts out five stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out five more stars. Then one of them stars explodes, blows out five. Have you ever seen that in a Roman candle? Roman candle usually has eight balls in it, different colors. But once they go up, there's another charge in each ball, and they explode. And when them eight explode, it makes 16 or 20 or ever how many, and it multiplies. That's what Brother Brown's talking about, us, Revelation. Have you ever seen where Revelation starts tying things together? That's that rocket. That's that Roman candle going off in you. Putting things together. And then it explodes. You go, that ain't nothing but the truth. And then one of them stars explodes, blows off five more stars. It fades on out. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time of the world. It ends the time for this. It means the time for that. It ends the time for this. I'm running out of room to read here. Thank you. It means the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Amen. Let's read Revelation 10:7. Musicians, get ready to come. We'll read one more quote. We'll be done. This is very familiar, but listen. This is talking about you. Because what did Paul call the great mystery? In Colossians. The great mystery was Christ in you. The hope of glory. Not Christ in the church. Not Christ in the trees. Not Christ in the books. Not Christ in the tapes. But you got to become what's on that tape. If it lays on that tape, what? It can be presumed. Listen, Jesus never ever woke up one day and was contrary to the one inside of him.
Right.
Me and my father, we sure fought today. No, he said, I only do that which the Father shows me.
Right.
You say, I can't do that. I think he prayed in John 17. He said, I pray, Father, that me and them be the same as me and you. And they were one. We've done been over this. They were one. We're not a second person to Jesus Christ. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery. What? I'll say it tonight. The mystery of who the bride really is.
Amen.
Not a church, not a denomination. But a people of God. That he spoke in Genesis 1 and said, they will come. The mystery of God should be finished.
Amen.
We don't start this thing, we finish it.
Amen.
As he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And we know that John typed the bride, and we know they told him to eat the book, and it was an open book. We know that. But let's read this one quote when we're done. Musicians, get ready to come. Revelation of Jesus Christ, Church Age book. You will recall that I mentioned at the beginning of this message that this book we're studying is the actual revelation of who? Jesus himself in the church and his work in the future ages. Then I mentioned that it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation or we will fail to get it. All right, so he just separated it. There's a false spirit and there's a real one. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study.
Right.
Listen, man has done a lot of ordinary studying to bring in these. Listen, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not a revelation. The only revelation of that is it's false. But that's revealed to us, not somebody that, you know, hangs their soul on it.
Right.
These people hang their soul on these different doctrines. Bringing these two thoughts together, you will see that it won't take just ordinary study and thinking. I thought, to make this book real, it's going to take the operation of the Holy Ghost. That means this book can't be revealed to anyone but a special class of people. It will take one with prophetic insight. That's what I'm telling you. We can wonder and presume what's going on the rest of this year, but that thing inside of you already knows what's going to happen this year. You just please listen to it. If you've ever listened to God, this is the year you need to listen to that little small voice inside. And you know what? Satan's voice most of the time is what I hear. How do you figure it out? You check it by the Word. You check it by the Word. Give it the Word test, Brother Brown said. Because remember, that's one thing Satan cannot stand. He cannot stand the Word.
Right.
It will take one with prophetic insight. It will require the ability to hear from God.
Right.
It will require supernatural instruction. Not just a student comparing verse by verse. That's the problem. They go verse by verse and they come up with all these different doctrines. But that's not by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost never quickened false doctrine. It can't.
Right.
It can allow it to happen, but it cannot quicken it. We're talking about this year a quickening of what you got inside of you.
Right.
It will require supernatural instruction. But now remember, it will quicken inside of you true and false. Because they got to separate. You've got to discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. Didn't I read you the quote before? You've got to do that. You say, boy, you make this so hard. It's not hard. Give it the Word test. Give it the Word test. If it's contrary to the Word, it is not God. It will require supernatural instruction, not just a student comparing verse with verse, though that is good. But a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit. Or it never becomes clear. That's why, folks, I believe in a five-fold ministry.
Right.
Not just listening to the prophet.
Right.
I don't discount that, but I'm telling you, that's where a lot of false doctrine has come from, just listening to the prophet. Because the devil can get in this thing right here and make you think he's saying what he's saying, but he's not. How we need to hear from God and lay ourselves open. Let us this year be an open book. We talk about an open book. We talk about an open book. Well, you be an open book. And become yielded to the Spirit to hear and know. Let's just right here. As I have already said, this book, Revelation, is the consummation of the Scriptures. Now, we talked about both seeds started in Genesis and they intertwined each other. But when we come to the end time, they've separated. And it took a prophet to call us out and say, not say, and say you're bride, but say, you're wheat. You're wheat. They're not wheat. They're tares. Look, it is even placed exactly right in the canon of Scripture. What? At the very end. Now you can know why it says that anyone who reads it or even hears it is blessed. It is the revelation of God that will give you authority over the devil. And you can see why they who would add or take from it would be cursed. Because you take and add to it, that becomes a denomination. Or you take from it. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? It is that simple. Watch this right here. There is nothing of such prevailing power. You want power? You want power over the devil? There is nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the Word. Amen. Nothing. Amen. We can have sensations, we can have feelings, musicians come, we can have all these different things. But the prevailing power is when God gives you a revelation that that ain't nothing but the truth.
Right.
Let's stand to our feet. It's going to be a separating time. And you may be deceived. Listen, Judas deceived him right up to the very end. But he had to show his colors. He had to show his tear. He was tear, and he never changed. He just hid himself. But see, as Satan hides himself, God also hides himself and reveals himself in you. You're the living Word of God. There is no other on this earth. There is no living Word of God except you.
Right. Amen.
Oh, you can have all these different... No, the only living Word of God on this earth at this moment is you.
Right.
The bride of Jesus Christ, the true bride of Jesus Christ, is the spokesman of God on the earth.
Yeah.
That's why I tell you, sisters, you think, oh, I don't have nothing to do. You go out in the world and be a light. You're going to condemn millions, but you just might get eternal life given to some poor guy or somebody that is kind to you. Or even looks at you and says, we had a local guy come by and Jim was getting something off of the shelf and he walked by this way and he stopped. I saw him. I knew who he was. He turned back like this and he looked. When I see most sinners would be looking for, you know what, a good looking woman or something. Well, he was looking at a good looking woman, my wife. But he walked down there and he said, God bless you, sister. He said, you're a godly looking woman. He's Pentecostal. But he sees all this other junk and he sees how Pentecost has come to where, you know, the girls, women, you can't tell them from the world. But when somebody like that, you make a statement. That's the Word made flesh. You've made that part of the Word real. So this time, today, tonight, from this day forward, until we get out of here, let's make this Word real.
Glory.
Amen.
Don't just go through the motions. Well, I got to go to church Sunday, and I got to go to church Wednesday. I got to play my instrument tonight because my mom and daddy made me. No, you walk up here and say, God, I'm going to do the best I can do.
That's right.
And I don't care if they like it. I'm doing it for you.
Right.
I'm going to sit in this pew and I'm going to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm going to raise my hand. I don't care if somebody around me does. Because I'm doing it for you. I'm not doing it for anybody else. We're not here for a public show. We're here though to let God be known by those two spirits being separated. And whether the world sees it or you see it, God sees it. God sees what's in your heart. That's why the David was a troubled man. Sure, he was a murderer. He had his best friend killed so he could have his wife. That's pretty tough. But God knew in the heart of David, if that little evil that was there, because there was no new birth, if that was removed, he'd have never done that. And God knew that, and he was the only one that knew that. That's why he could say, David is the apple of my eye. We don't know how much David cried and wept and prayed and said, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I just had a weak moment. And God said, I know. I know you did. I know down in your heart. But I believe he told David, you look in the Psalms, there's one coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. And I'm going to clean all this whole thing up from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. I'm coming myself. He was wounded for my transgression.
Right.
He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace is upon him, and by his stripes I'm going to be healed. David, you don't worry. You're going to make it, David. By the skin of your teeth, you're going to make it. But there's going to be a group that's going to read you and going to know that that's me that was writing that.
Right.
Turned right to the book of Psalms, Psalms 48. That psalm is to me and you. It's a prayer that David sang to God, but how many times do we sing that prayer to him?
Right.
5 or 6,000 years after it was written. It's still just as fresh today as it was yesterday. Right. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
So the two spirits, they're working in the framework of the church, and there's only one way, is a prevailing revelation, which means not just, well, you know, I believe that Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is wrong. Now, Brother Brown said that's just the ability to read, because it says in the Bible. But you got to know where that come from. Know that that's wrong. And know that to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the correct scriptural way to be baptized.
Right.
Amen. That's why I just may cover a few of the major doctrines like that. Not to me. See, to us, they're not major. They're common. We can just go through them and go, well, the Bible says in Acts 2:38... Well, why does it says in Acts 2:38? Why does the whole world not baptize like that? Yet it's in plain English. And we look at it and go, thank you, Lord. Remember the first time you saw water baptism? You said, oh, thank you, Lord. It's been there the whole time. By your name we will be known. The whole name of heaven and earth is named Jesus. Not Father, not Son, not Holy Ghost. But it was hidden, though, except to a small group of people.
Glory.
Because it's deceived the whole world into believing that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, the two spirits. So let's go forward this year. Let's pray that God... Listen, them two spirits reside in you.
Yeah.
Not in your soul, but you've got a spirit realm that he can work in those five senses. That other spirit can try to get you to do things that you don't want to do.
Right.
Young people, all of us.
Yeah.
But we have an advocate. And where's that advocate? It's not over yonder somewhere. That advocate's right here inside of you. This is where judgment begins. Right here. Because this is the house of God. This is not the house of God. This is where people that are of the house of God come and worship. Because it doesn't matter. We can worship over there, that building over there. What Brother Bram said, you take your spirit, you take that with you. You take the Holy Ghost with you wherever you go. If you have it, listen, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost this year, you pray to God that you get it. Because there's one time going to happen, brothers. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That door that I said was open of that boxcar, one day it's going to have to shut and go to its destination. And when it shuts, nothing's coming out, nothing's going in. It's going to close. That's why the Bible says you are sealed unto the day of your redemption. So you get right with God. All of us get right with God. Pray more. Study more. Talk to your neighbor more. Talk to your friends more. But talk to them about God.
Right.
Say, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. And you know what? If they go to sleep or you know, burp their beer while you're talking to them, so what? At least give them a chance.
Right.
I make it kind of hard sometimes, but that's... I mean, you look at people and they just have this nonchalant, well, whatever, you know. Well, I go to church and you know, we do the... thing and we do, but boy, we like our beer, you know. We like our, well, say, look, man, there's something better. There's something better. Let's just go one step higher. Because we need to be adults, not children. Right. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
403. Into the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Slow down a little bit.
Then
I once was and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Were it scarlet, they're as white as snow. You think about that. The day I am free. What are you bound by? You're bound by unbelief. Then I... But now I see I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When I stand in His presence, I stand above. He will wipe every tear from my eye. Thank God for that. Now thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. Think about that. Oh, I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. All my life has been rearranged. Has God rearranged your life? Or is it still the same old thing? The same old bed in the same old place. The same old chair in the same old place. The same old Bible sitting up on the shelf in the same old place. If you've been changed, you'll know it.
Right.
I remember when God rearranged my life, don't you?
Right.
And I wasn't happy. I was happy that He arranged my furniture. I didn't mind it one bit. Because He arranged me toward a heavenly home.
Right.
Folks, there's nothing in this world. I like to do the things, you know, hunting and fishing and all those different things, but there's one thing about it. It dims in comparison to what God will show you if you'll just listen to Him.
Glory.
It dims in comparison. All these things, and we do life, but when it comes to this, I like Brother Bob, what he said about getting his prayer time. You know what? Tithe your time this year. Give God 10%. And I'll tell you, you take 7 days at 24 hours a day, ever how many hours that is, and times at 10%. And it comes up, I don't know how many hours it is, but that's tithing your time. If you give God 4 or 5 hours of your time a week, I'll guarantee you your life will be rearranged. And you will absolutely have a better life. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's look at this, though, as not two spirits, as them against us. Don't worry. It is them against us, but it ain't them. It's them.
Right.
Them against us.
Right.
That us inside against them of that old carnal nature that we have that we're getting rid of as we go up the statue of a perfect man. You love the Lord?
Amen.
God bless you. Come back Sunday. Go with the love of the Lord.
Amen.
Pray for your pastor. Pray for everybody that has any authority in the church. Pray for mom's family for the loss of her sister there. And just please do not forget God. Because He's the one. You need to say something? Or you... Huh? Okay. I'm going to give you two and you take them to me. Sing it again.
I've been reborn all my life has been rearranged.
And that they'll bless our brother, Lord, and give him strength in whatever he needs, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord. Thank you, amen. Give
him
to him, okay?
Praise God
has been, you're dismissed.
I've been to the water and I've been baptized.